a year back, as we've mentioned previously, God really started to share with us about praying for this nation. And I think all of us are very aware of a shift that's taking place in the spiritual realm. It's not just South Africa as it must just carry on like it is. God's doing something, and He's inviting us. He has invited us to really be part of an incredible journey with Him. And so we've been praying particularly for the family of God, first of all, and for our nation. And so one of the things that I think we have realized as we've been together with the body of Christ worldwide is that we have been experiencing at a greater depth the reality of what Jesus taught here in John 14 when He said concerning prayer, and He said over there, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in My name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask Me for anything in My name, and I will do it. And I believe that over this past year, there's been a lot of activity, a lot of ministry of Holy Spirit within us, helping us to grow in the reality of what it means to, whatever we say, whatever we do it in the name of Jesus. And He's helping us over this period of time of really just pressing in and beginning to experience that we are learning how to pray in the name of Jesus, and we're seeing Jesus answering the prayers. And that is what's happening in the nation. And I think all of us can testify that what God is doing in our own lives, we've got nothing to do with it. It's all the work of God. We've got no method. We cannot say, this is what I'm doing and all, but this is why I'm changing. It's all this incredible ministry of the Holy Spirit working within us, doing an amazing work. It's His grace. It's His power. He's doing this work within us, so that we have to acknowledge, I don't have a model, I don't have a method, I don't have a program, and while I'm improving, it's the work of God, because by faith in Jesus, and just receiving the mighty, you know, in Romans 8 there, the incredible law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that's working within us, and we're very thankful for Holy Spirit and what He's doing in our lives. So we've been spending a lot of time praying for the family of God, praying for the nation, and we still are busy with that. And as I've shared previously, or let's stay in John 14 quickly, because we were discussing something yesterday that is very important for us to understand part of the foundation when it comes to praying, and really just praying that goes beyond just the normal shallow kind of prayers, and really understanding what God's up to in a nation, and to be able to join Christ's intercession over there. And so here in John chapter 14, when Jesus is speaking about Him going to the Father, and remember what Jesus says over here when Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know Me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in Me? The words I say to you are not just My own. Rather, it is the Father living in Me who is doing His work. Believe Me when I say that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in Me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles. So here we see something so profound, so beautiful. And Jesus is working together with His Father. Jesus is working together with His Father. Okay, so His Father is in Him. His Father is working, and Jesus is working together with His Father to see the Father's will being done. Now, I don't know about you, but I think as children, one of the pleasant memories we probably all have is the joy of maybe working with our parents, whether it's in the kitchen, you know, you're baking something, or doing maintenance, or in the garden, whatever it may. But working with your parents is such a great joy. There's a privilege to be able to work together with your parents. Likewise, you and I, when we begin to realize that now, as a new creation in Christ, and the Father and the Son are dwelling within us, just as Jesus says, the Father living in me, Christ living in us, the Father and the Son living in us by the Holy Spirit, you and I are able to work together with our Heavenly Father. What a privilege for us working with Him here on earth to make His glory, to reveal His will, to do what's on His heart. So it's now the great joy, and this is a wonderful way of seeing life, is to come to the place, but Father, today, thank you that your Son and I, your Son and we can work together with you here on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what it's all about. And so we start to realize the joy of being children of God, not slaves. See, it opens up the incredible relationship with our Heavenly Father, knowing the joy of being loved by Him, knowing what it is to be in the Father and in the Son Jesus, as we've been praying from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. So we're starting to renew our minds and to look at our nation and to look at the people around us, to look at where we're working and the schools and our communities, and we're starting to, wow, God, today is a joy together with your Son Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to work with you, Father, so that people can experience the true God, our Heavenly Father. And that's for us is one of the realities of us by the Holy Spirit really going into the reality of God being our Heavenly Father, the fatherhood of God. And that's why a few months back, the Holy Spirit was sharing with us here to open up and allow our Heavenly Father to father us so that we can enter into His fatherhood and experience fatherhood in our own lives. And from this place of fatherhood, we can work with Him in a whole different way of seeing things, with a joy, with so much taking place in our lives. And we will get to sometime, we'll speak about love and joy, because it's a crucial reality of Jesus. He worked with His Father and He was full of joy because He was experiencing the Father's joy, and Father's joy is His joy, and we are in Him. So when we are working here with our Heavenly Father doing His will, the joy in the Father is our joy. See, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Important as we look at some scriptures now. And so also, our joy is their joy. And my joy is your joy. Your joy is my joy. That's how it works when it comes to one of the incredible essence of love, as we start to grow into the reality of this joy of God and experiencing the joy of working together with our Heavenly Father. So it just opens up a different mindset. It opens up the privilege and the honor of a relationship, of growing in a deep relationship with the Father and with our Lord Jesus Christ in working together with them. And that's what's eternal life. Eternal life is to know the only true God and His Son Jesus Christ. It's an experiential, it's not intellectual, it's knowing. So that's what we remember. We always speak about Jesus says, I'm going to give you the Spirit of truth. Remember what truth is? It's not information. Truth is reality. So that I'm giving you the Spirit of reality of who we are. Okay. So when we read the Bible, it's not just the information. The Holy Spirit takes us into the reality of what joy is, what peace is, what fatherhood is. It's not just written words, it's the experience of that reality. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's the difference between just reading and having an intellectual understanding and really having eternal life, which is knowing what it's all about. And that's the journey that the Holy Spirit takes us on. So we have amazing privilege to be able to just work together with our Heavenly Father. One of the things that we are very aware, let's stay here, John. Let me stay here quickly in John 14. You see, Jesus then says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And today, we're going to be looking in Ephesians 3, and there's some insights there concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit enabling us to grasp the love of God. Because this love that we're talking about is a foundation for intercession. It's a foundation. That's why we may be rooted and established in His love, and we experience the fullness of this. So here we have a foundation, because this love that we're speaking about is a love that enables us to obey our Heavenly Father. And we've been speaking about, we're watching some teaching on another depth of intercession, and he was sharing there that that holiness and repentance are foundational in order to be able to get to the place where you can say, now, Father, with your word, judge me. Why is this so important? Because if we don't love God, we will not want to be holy. You see? We want to stay in the darkness. We want to participate with stuff that is not in the light, and we will make those decisions. If we love God, we have a desire to be holy. We want to live a life that's in the light. We want to live a life that really reflects that the living Christ dwells within us. We want to live a life that is so pure that we don't want to participate in sin. But also repentance. See, if we don't want to repent, if we don't want to live in holiness, we don't want to repent. We will have arguments. We will resist God. And that is why when we have a desire, remember last week, set your mind on things above and your heart on things above. See, our hearts must be full of desire for the things of God. Likewise, our way of thinking, that's repentance, we renew our mind. So when we are now having a desire to be able to live a life that is pure, that is tells everybody that we are no longer part of this world, we are now in a kingdom, and my life reflects the purity of that. Plus, I have a mindset that whatever the Holy Spirit shares, I'm just going to renew my mind. I'm going to live like that. Then, because I have this desire, we then can come and say, Lord, now, let your word really judge me. Judge my motives. Judge everything. Expose the things in my life. Because now I'm willing to live a holy life. I want to. And I'm also willing to hear and follow the ways of God. I'm not going to resist God. Otherwise, when you ask God, you know, Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God is alive and active, and it exposes and judges, etc., etc. And then when he does that, what happens? Oh, now we come up with all kinds of justification and excuses, because we're not willing, we don't have the desire to live holy. We don't have a desire to actually change our lifestyle. See, now with that attitude, we cannot pray for a nation. You see, you can't. To pray for people, to pray for a nation, we've got to be in the place where we can say, God, now let your word expose within me my motives. Expose within me the areas in my own life that's opening up the area for the demonic to have activity in a nation. Open these things up so that I can begin to come to the place where you're showing me, and I can say, wow, Lord, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses me. I just get an agreement. Yes. That's why, yes, God, you are holy. And I just say yes without any arguments, but you've got the blood of Jesus that continually cleanses us. So we go to 1 John chapter 1. If we say we do not sin, we make God out to be a liar. But if we confess our sin that the Holy Spirit now is revealing to us, then the blood of Jesus continually purifies us from that unrighteousness. And as a result, growing in holiness, as a result, my renewing my mind to truth, I'm walking in the truth. As a result, I'm now, Father, it's such a joy to be able to work together with you here, so that your glory, your name is made holy here. Your kingdom comes, your will be done here on earth. Okay, so that's very, very important for us to understand why this foundation of love is so crucial. Because if we love God, we will want to be holy. If we love God, we want to have our minds renewed and walk in the truth that the Word of God speaks about it. If we love God, we will obey His commands. Okay, so if I'm resisting and I don't want to change, then this tells you very clearly, I do not love God. Plain and simple, I just love myself. Bottom line. Okay, but as we looked at what took place, the old I, who we were before we got born again, that's no longer us, that died. The new I is the I that's in Christ Jesus that lives. Okay? And Christ lives in this new I, at this union that we're speaking and have spoken about so often. So, when we're looking now what God is busy doing here in our nation, and we know there that the fullness of His kingdom, He wants to make known, He wants to see His kingdom to be more of a reality in this nation. And when we looked at the Easter Passover weekend, and we went back to Isaiah chapter 2, it's very important to see there that when the prophet is speaking about the kingdom of God, the prophet there now, God is speaking through the prophet and says, it shall be established. So we see here as a process of the kingdom of God growing and growing and growing and growing and becoming greater and greater and greater. In Daniel's interpretation of the vision that King Nebuchadnezzar has in Daniel 2, again we see that out of a rock, the small rock came out, small, but it just grew and grew and grew and grew until it filled the whole earth. Jesus speaks about the growing kingdom when he speaks about the seed is planted. The kingdom of God is like a seed, and it's planted, and then it grows and grows and becomes this mighty tree where birds of all kinds can come and perch on it. He speaks about the kingdom of God as yeast into the bread, and it spreads and spreads and spreads and spreads. So all the time we see there that this kingdom of God that shall be established as chief amongst all kingdoms, Jesus comes in and we see the beginning of this incredible reality of God's kingdom here on earth. And we start to see it just growing and growing and growing. And you and I, the family of God worldwide, we part of this growing kingdom of God. That is why when he speaks about Jesus teaches us to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's such an important prayer, a prayer for the family of God. Because now we're participating, we're in agreement with the incredible prophetic word that he spoke to the nations through the prophets that came into fulfillment through his son Jesus Christ, and we are now involved in the expansion of the kingdom of God within us and all around as we touch people's lives. And the reality, let me go to the reality, and that'll be Ephesians 1. Quickly just go there to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just look there in chapter 1. Because we see something profound over here. When Paul is giving thanks again for the body of Christ. And he's praising God and he's asking the Father to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we know him better and the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the incomparable great power for us who believe. That power, and we're going to get to that just now in chapter 3, that power is like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So here we see when God said, my kingdom is going to be established as chief amongst every other kingdom. There's no other kingdom that will be able to be greater than the kingdom of my Son Jesus Christ. And then we see that Christ comes and the power of the Holy Spirit raised Christ. And look what the Father did with Jesus. Placed him in the heavenly realm, seated him in the heavenly realms at the right hand of the Father, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age. What's the present age? It's the age that we're living in, the age of this world. So it's not only in this present age that Jesus is Almighty King of Kings, far above all, but also in the age to come, the forever age. So there will never be a time, there will never be a time when Jesus Christ is not King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There will never be a time when there's any other authority that will try and be great or be greater than our Lord Jesus Christ. We're in a kingdom that is growing and growing and growing. We're in an incredible kingdom. So now this age comes to an end. In, I think it's Matthew. No, I've got a scripture here somewhere. Luke 20. Jesus explains this. In Luke chapter 20, when people are asking him about the marriage at the resurrection and whose husband, whose wife, etc., all that, who's going to be there. But Jesus answered them and he says to them, the people of this age, concerning the age of the world, are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of partaking in the age, partaking in that age, and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. Let me just go to the original over here. Jesus says, but those who are considered worthy are partaking in that age to come. That's what it says in the Greek. So here we see that the resurrection or the second coming of Christ and the resurrection of the dead, this age comes to an end. And there's now the forever age that we've entered into. And Jesus is still King of Kings. Okay, so it's important for us to realize that we are part of something that, you know, fear mustn't control us. Hopelessness mustn't control us. We've got to see beyond this the reality. We've got to see Jesus Christ is King of Kings. We've got to see who He is. We've got to know that there's no authority. And whatever we do, whatever we say, we're doing it in His name. His authority. And He wants us to grow into the reality of what it is to be in His authority, who He is. And for us to live our life from that place. That is why we are praying in that 1 Thessalonians, that we will get the revelation of what it is to be in God the Father and in His Son Jesus Christ. And to live from this place. To be able to now pray from this place. Okay, so that's just an introduction. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. So Paul is again praying for the family of God. And in verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I think, you know, I'm just thinking something now. I think if we are not, I think many of us, you know, it's I'm talking about mankind. We're trying to find our identity in what we do. And so we are seeking to be validated in the work, the titles, what I have, etc., etc. And so we're trying to find our purpose in life. from that stuff. But unless we get the revelation that we are children of God, fathered by Him, and be in that starting point that I'm your child, I'm loved by you, and getting established in that and living in the reality of that, we will always battle to find our purpose. Because we will look for the identity in the things and not in the fatherhood of God. And so Paul is praying for that to take place in our lives. And he says over here, for this reason I kneel before the Father from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his, this is our Heavenly Father, that you and I are working with here on earth. This glorious Father that we are working together with him here. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. So, just to help us understand the structure over here, a good commentary on this is by John Piper. I don't know if any of you know John Piper. He understands the Greek very well. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. So now he's praying. I pray that out of his glorious riches, number one, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Number two, I'm praying that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Okay? The purpose for why I'm praying this, the purpose for you being strengthened by the Holy Spirit, the purpose for you getting to know the reality of Christ dwelling in your inner man is this. This is the purpose. That you may know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, in order that we may be full to the full measure of the fullness of God. So that's the structure of this prayer of Paul's. So he's praying, coming to the Father, and Father, I'm asking now that you will strengthen the family, this family that's got your name, this family that you're the origin, you've given this family life. I pray that you will, first of all, by your Holy Spirit, give strength in the inner man. Give strength to the family of God. But it's not in order that. It goes to the second part of the prayer. And this second part of the prayer is crucial. I pray that out of your glorious riches you may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He's praying for believers, born again believers. Have God Christ dwelling within them, filled with the Holy Spirit. But he's praying, Father, I'm praying that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. That's quite a prayer, praying for believers that Christ may dwell. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14? When I leave, I'm going to ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will come. And when the Holy Spirit comes in you, you will know. You will know the Father, you will know the Son, and we will come and make our dwelling within you. So the Holy Spirit, the gift of God's Spirit that he has given to you and I enables us to know the fullness of Christ within us. And that's what Paul is praying here. So by the Spirit for us to be strengthened, not in order that Christ may dwell, no, because we get our strength from the Lord. The Lord is our strength. And that's why, you know, we have that kind of, please pray for me to be strengthened. No, rather pray that you'll experience by the Spirit the reality of Christ within, His full presence within, get to know and experience the reality that Christ is alive within you, and then you'll be strengthened. Because be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Get to know the joy of the Lord, you will be strengthened. Okay, so that is what Paul is referring to over here. And it's not first be strengthened and then let Christ come and dwell in your hearts. And so dwelling is really, he's saying, Father, we're asking that by your Holy Spirit, the reality of the fullness of Jesus will become very real within the believers. So we'll get to know Him, we get to grow, and we get to experience all who Jesus Christ is. And that's what he's busy praying for the believers. And then he says, this is why I'm praying for this to take place. But if, again, it's through faith. This is crucial. Because everything, when Jesus says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, how were we born again? By faith. Let's go to another scripture. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6. Well, he's busy speaking about the incredible wisdom of God that's in Christ Jesus. And he says, so then just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity live in body form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is head over every power and authority, etc. And then it goes about how we've died with Him and raised with Him in the glorious miracle of being born again. So we see here in Colossians, Paul is speaking about us to be rooted in Him, to be established in Christ Jesus. We see the parable of the sower. Again, the kingdom, the message of the kingdom is spoken, and it's he who receives, he who allows that word, he who allows that word to bring about what is needed to take place in a person's life. What takes place? That word goes through a journey to get rooted and established in a good heart. That repentant heart. That heart that desires for holiness. That heart that says, Lord, judge me. Remove the stuff that's not good soil in this heart. And let your love and your light shine in. That I can just say, thank you, Lord. I receive the power of your blood to cleanse me. So he's praying over here, and in the back to the parable, and we see there that all of us, as we hear the message of God, if we don't understand how the enemy steals, but if we keep on, what takes place eventually, despite the shallowness, we don't want shallow hearts, where suddenly that word is gone. We don't want all the thorns and all the worries in life that strangles at that, because we've renewed our mind to truth and we're applying the truth and we're finding while we're getting established. Otherwise, we will be taken away by all human philosophies. Human philosophy. You want to find purpose in life? And they will give you some human thing about finding your purpose in life. This is why you're born. This is why. And it's bypassing that really fact what God says about why we are born. to live as His children, to be in His family, and to live from that place of being in His family as a child of God, and enjoy working with our Father to establish His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. There's purpose there. So we've got to be careful. And so he's praying over here, now that Christ is real in your life, you're rooted and you're being established in Him, I pray that you being rooted and established in love, this rooted and this established, I've mentioned before, but just to recap, rooted, again, take a tree, got roots. What did we pray over there in Colossians? You need to be rooted in Christ Jesus more and more. So when our roots by the Holy Spirit, as we listen, as we reply, as we walk with the Holy Spirit, our roots are going deeper and deeper into Christ Jesus. What's the effect? What's the result when a tree's roots goes deep into good soil? You see, we start to see the outward expression. We see the growth. We see the fruit, whatever that tree may be. It grows and grows and grows. So what's the effect when you and I are being rooted and established in this incredible love of Jesus Christ, and our roots are going deep into this love of Christ? What's happening over here? The kingdom of God grows and expands, as the prophet said it would be. And we're part of that kingdom. We're part of demonstrating the very life of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and that's what he's praying over here. And so he prays over here, I pray that you're being rooted and established in love. And now, this is why I'm praying, that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is this love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And this is where, going against Thessalonians, where Paul says, I don't have to teach you how to love, because God himself has taught you. See, and this is what he's praying over here, that the Father, by the Holy Spirit, you will teach the believers, you will teach the family of God, you will teach them the depth, the width, the heart, the unlimitlessness of this incredible love of Jesus Christ. Teach them by the Holy Spirit. What a prayer to pray for the believers. What a prayer to pray for ourselves and our family and for believers. What a prayer to pray for believers in a nation. That a nation, the body of Christ in the nation, will be able to be rooted and established in the revelation of what this incredible love of Jesus Christ is all about. Remember, God's love is expressed through His Son Jesus. So it's the Father's love, it's the Son's love, it's the Holy Spirit's love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. God has poured His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So you and I, because of our intimacy with the Holy Spirit, you and I, because of what the Paul is praying, that by the Spirit of God, we will know what it is to have Christ dwelling within us. But we will know more and more what it is to have the fullness of His love, our reality. We will know what it is to get a grasping of how high and wide and deep and high is this incredible love of God for us. That our lives are rooted in that. Because we've got faith, we will find ourselves growing deeper into this. This is the joy of being a child of God. And this is the foundation for intercession. Of how to pray and how to live and how to really just for us to be more fruitful as we abide in Him. Jesus says in John 15, you know, the Father is the gardener, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. And he then says that the Father prunes and cuts and that, so that we can be more fruitful. And those who remain, interesting choice of words, those who remain in me, interesting choice of words. And he's speaking about us being rooted in him. See. Work out our salvation, he says. So it's, if he says that those who remain in me will bear much fruit, another word he uses, those who abide in me will bear much fruit. But it's interesting if he has to say those who remain will bear much fruit, it means that it's possible for us not to remain in him. It means that, and as we see in Galatians, where it's possible for you and I to bypass this grace, this gift of righteousness, and bypass the full benefits of being in Christ Jesus and get back into our own performance, into our own life, and once again living in the reality of just me, 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 and no longer Christ in us. And this is why we get to the place where we can come now and say, God, you worked in me because of your Holy Spirit. The one who has the Spirit has a mind set on things above. The one who has the Spirit of God has a desire to honor God, to seek God, to live a life that's worthy of being a child of God. That's the child of God that's got the Holy Spirit within. As we say, what God's up to in this nation, it's worth saying yes to Jesus. Come and let your word judge me. I want to work with you. So I pray, Father, that you will give us, by the Holy Spirit, you will strengthen our inner man. You will strengthen this inner man, who I really am now in Christ Jesus. You will strengthen the reality of living and experiencing the fullness of Christ within me by the Holy Spirit. That we as believers will know this. And I'm praying this, he says, so that we will know beyond the intellectual knowledge, we may be able to live in the fullness of this incredible love that he has for us. Then we'll be full to the full measure of the fullness of God. How full is the love of Christ that we read over here? How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ? That's what he's praying, that we'll be able to grasp and to live in that fullness. As a result, we'll be overflowing with the fullness of this love of God. It's interesting that he uses Paul, and who was so active, so involved. He's so got fire and zeal, and as he says, I work harder than any other of the apostles. And he has a great revelation of the love of Christ that motivates him and drives him, energizes him. Involved with the Father's work here on earth because of this revelation of love. And this is the prayer that we're praying for us as the family of God in our nation, to be rooted and established in this, that we can be involved with the Father's business here in South Africa, what his will is. In Haggai, God speaks to through the prophet, because the people are so involved in building their own houses, their own futures, their own goals, their own everything about them, that they've neglected to build the temple, the very reason why they were released to go back to Jerusalem. And this is part of getting the place where, God, I want to live a holy life. God, I want to live a life of repentance. As you speak, I just say, yes, Lord, thank you for the blood. I live in truth. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. is what He wants us to learn and be established in. He is the Spirit of truth. And as we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, the fullness, the reality of the fullness of Christ within us, and also the reality of us being strengthened, will become so, so real to us. Amen. Yeah. Father, we want to thank You that You are drawing us into this incredible love, into Your heart. We want to thank You that You are, it's like the marching orders is the rhythm of Your heartbeat. That You are enabling us to be able to recognize, to hear, and to keep in step with the rhythm of Your heartbeat for the nations. And we thank You for that privilege. We want to thank You for Holy Spirit. Father, how You have sent Your Holy Spirit and given us Your Holy Spirit, so that by the Holy Spirit we get to know You, we get to experience You, we get to be able to live a life here, not as orphans, but to be able to live as children, Your children, fully loved, aware of Your reality, aware of Your fatherhood, aware of You, Jesus, aware of Your life within us. And we want to thank You. So as we have gone through this and we have communion this morning, it's such a joy, such a privilege to be able to reflect and just to come and sit quietly with You, Father, and surrender and just say, yes, Father, here are these areas of my life that comes up, and thinking early on where we want to have an argument and say, no, 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 Lord, but to be able to say, yes, Lord, come and just bring the healing. Let Your love just flood with truth. Let me have a truth power encounter. Let me have a love explosion within my heart. Let me have a faith explosion within my own heart. And we thank You for today. Thank You, Father, through Your Son, Jesus. This is all a reality for us. Amen. Amen.